champadiya kaliya damana kore kalindira jale. Kalindira jale, kalisarpa fane nace dekaye sakale. Kalisarpa fane nace dekaye sakale. Krishna anugraha koila kali hasa pare Krishna anugraha koila anugraha koila. Eta hoite ramanaka dvipe pataila. Eta hoite ramanaka dvipe pataila. Hrade snana dhika kore je. Ekali hrade snana dhika kore je. Se sarva pape mukti hoyase. Mukti hoyase. Anaya se sarva pape mukti hoyase. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jaya Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Paramahamsa Parivar Jakachar Jivarya, the Stotarasata Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace of Hoy Charnaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikayai Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadbhaktaya Namo Namaha Namah Krishnaya Ramaya Vasudeva Sutaya Cha Pradyumnaya Nirudhaya Satvatam Pataye Namaha Namo Vrindavanam Kaya Tubhyam Golokamalane Purna Brahmata Patraya Namo Govardhanaya Cha Vamcha Kalpataruvishcha Kripa Sindubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he's given a very nice verse we'd like to meditate on in the beginning of our discussion. Madasya maru sanchara kinam gam gokulon mukim santapusna vimam snigdaha karnakasra sanido. He describes our situation very nicely. He says that I have something to say. And this kata of mine is just like a cow. And this cow, it wants to go to Vrindavan. But this cow is suffering on the desert of my tongue. It has nothing to drink and suffering very badly. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami prays that may the saintly devotees, whose ears are like a lake, Karnakasra Sanido, may you all give shelter to these words of ours. So we want to speak something for the next few days about this Kaliya Damana Leela. And in particular, the purport that Thakur Bhaktivinoda gives to it in his Krishna Samhita and somewhat his Chaitanya Sikshamrita. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes in Chaitanya Sikshamrita two different types of pastimes. He says there that Krishna has his nitya leelas and his naimittik leelas. The word naimittik means occasional, and it also means special. So these pastimes are very special. And as we mentioned last night, Jiva Goswami says that these pastimes are even more relishable for Krishna than his nitya leelas. In this regard, we should meditate on one thing. We can ask ourselves, what is the purpose of this mayak sangsar, this material world? Sometimes devotees, they say, well, it's to purify the conditioned souls. It's like a prison. But we don't accept that. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that everything is for the Lord's pleasure, including this material world. And the Lord gets more pleasure from his pastimes here than he does in his nitya leelas. And Vishwanath gives the example of a candle. If you light a candle in the middle of the day outside, candle's a very beautiful thing, but in the middle of the day, you can't see that flame. But if you light a candle in a very dark room, then it looks very nice. Or he says, if you take a diamond and you put the diamond on a silver plate, then you can't see the diamond. But if you put the diamond on some dark blue velvet, then the diamond looks more beautiful. So similarly, the purpose of this material world is to give more pleasure for Krishna in his pastimes. And different acharyas comment in different ways about this topic. There are many pastimes which take place in this material world, in this Boma Vrindavan, which don't take place in the spiritual world. Krishna's Janma Leela. There's no Janma in the spiritual world. Some say his Bala Leela, his pastimes as a small child, don't take place there. Some acharyas say that there's no cooking going on in the spiritual world. The Gita says there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no fire in the spiritual world. Some acharyas say the cooking goes on here. So Krishna, he comes here so he can have some special cooking. I don't know, maybe Giriraj produces everything in the spiritual world for Krishna to eat. So these pastimes in the material world are very special. Krishna says, janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tattvataha. And we should know them in tattva. But these pastimes are naimittic, and they're special pastimes. Bhaktivinoda says that by remembering Krishna's naimittic leelas of killing the demons, the devotee is able to destroy his own sinful conduct. Krishna is so kind that he comes here and his pastimes are relevant for everyone. This is a word I like very much, relevance. Whatever we do, our bhajan should be relevant for us, for our position. If we want to preach, what we speak should be relevant for people. If it's not relevant, if there's nothing they can get out of it, there's no interest in it for them, then why will they bother to hear? So Krishna's pastimes in this material world have some relevance for us. And we should meditate on them. These naimittic leelas represent different obstacles in bhakti. So this Kaliya Damana leela, Bhaktivinoda says in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, that Kaliya represents envy and pride. And in Krishna Sanghita, he says in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, represents pride, deceit, harming others, and cruelty. And in Krishna Sanghita, he says that Kaliya Damana Leela represents, Kaliya represents malice. So we'd like to try to discuss something about this in the next few days. And we've taken different points from about 20 different literatures, different Puranas, different commentaries, several of which we had translated specially just for this program. And we're going to kind of mix everything together for a specific purpose. In his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, this pastime, Sanatana Goswami describes this Kaliya Damana Leela. He says there that it was discussed by Narad Muni to Gopa Kumar. But when Narad Muni began to speak this leela, he said, I don't know if I can do this. He spoke the following words. Yuvai viharo janikali yasya rade yashoda tanayashitasya tam smartumi shona bhavami shoka prahashe vegat katam alapani. He says this particular bihar, this particular pastime, sport that Krishna performed with Kaliya in that Kaliyasya Hrade. Hrada means a lake. It's an interesting word and very appropriate for this pastime. Hrada means in Sanskrit a lake, but in particular it means a deep lake. And it comes from the same bij dhatu as Hrida, or the heart. So Kaliya Damana Leela takes place in the Jamuna, which is the heart of Vrindavan. And we want to drive Kaliya out from that place, which is also like our hearts. So he says that, Tam smartumisho nabhavamishoka. I can't even tolerate remembering this pastime. It causes me so much pain, but at the same time, prahasya vegat katamalapani, it gives me so much happiness. It's a very interesting thing. Two opposites in one container. When we see this happen in Krishna Leela and Gaura Leela, when two opposites are there together, union and separation, in this case, happiness and distress, it evokes very, very powerful emotions in the hearts of the devotees. So this Kaliya Damana Leela is something very, very powerful and very, very significant. And we would like to try to speak some of the pastime and mix in a little purports with it for the first couple days. And then on the third day, speak something about Gaura Leela and this pastime and how it goes on in Gaura Leela. And then the fourth day, Madhuryena Samapayet, we should finish with something sweet. All the different Puranas that describe this pastime, which include Vishnu Purana, the Bhagavatam, Brahma Vivarta Purana, the Harivamsa, Garga Samhita, as well as Gopal Champu, Nanda Brindavan Champu, all of these literatures say the same thing. That one day, Vina Ramena, the Bhagavatam says, Vina Ramena, one day without Balaram, Krishna went to herd the cows. This is very interesting. When so many different literatures say the same thing, you can bet that there must be some significance to that. And I'd like to come back to this point in a few days, but please remember this. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives some explanation of it. He says that Vina Ramena means Balaram wasn't there because it was his birthday. And Balaram stayed back that day. Mother Rohini and the Brijbasis wanted to give him a special bath. So that day, Krishna decided, I want to go to Kaliya Hrada. Now, Kaliya, according to the Bhagavatam and according to our acharyas, had been residing in Vrindavan for many, many yugas. It's a very interesting thing. We will ask some question we'll address later on. How is it that Kaliya had this Sukriti to come and live in Braj? It's a very difficult thing to come to Braj, even for a few days, even for one moment. But Kali was living here for many, many yugas, and he was a great demon. It wasn't that no one knew about Kaliya. Why is it that Krishna didn't go there earlier? Well, Jiva Goswami, in his Gopal Champu, he says that Mother Yashoda, knowing about Kaliya's presence there in the Jamuna, she told her, Gopal, you stay away from that place. So then why did Krishna disobey her? Well, he had some other instruction from Dauji, from his older brother. And Balaram told him that Mother said, don't swim in that place. You stay away from the water. But if the cows go there, then you can also go there because you have to protect the cows. So Krishna had some, Jiva Goswami said, had some great curiosity to see that place. And that curiosity indicated his intolerance of demoniac influence in Vrindavan. We should understand something about the position of Jamunaji. It's described in the Bhagavatam that Shiva Jalasaya, that Jamuna is the life or the health of Vrindavan. We say that water is life. And so the Jamuna is the life of Vrindavan. Everyone is drinking from the Jamuna. And Kaliya, his presence in the Jamuna was very, very intolerable. Kavi Karnapur, he says that Jamunaya Ridroga, that Kaliya's presence in the Jamuna was like a heart disease. Because the Jamuna is the heart of Braj. And if Kaliya is there poisoning everything, then it's a very, very terrible poison. So the Harivamsa Purana describes, Toyajai sapadais chaktam shunyam tayotcharai kagai agadinam basa purnam mega purnam ivambaram. That even all the aquatic creatures, all the fish, and even the crocodiles avoided that Kaliya Hrada, that place, because the poison was so terrible there. the Harivamsa Purana says there were no water birds present in or around Kaliyarada. Mm-hmm. One acharya describes, you may know, that Kaliya came to this place out of fear of Garuda, running away from Garuda. And it's described in many places that the poison in Kaliyarada, that lake, was so toxic that all the birds that would fly over would fall down dead. And one commentary describes that there's a reason for that, because Kaliya was very envious of Garuda. They had some enmity. And Garuda was the king of birds. So Kaliya particularly was very, very angry toward the birds. So Harivamsa Purana says, Bisharana bivasya gner dhumena pariveshtitam, that the entire lake was full of fire and smoke that was coming from Kaliya's poison. That poison was so toxic, there was fire and smoke coming from it. Akashad apisancharyam kaga akasha gocharai tanes api patasapsu jalantam ivatejasa. And even the birds flying over the lake would fall down dead. If you were to take a piece of dry straw and throw it into the water, it would immediately burst into flames. This was the situation of the Jamuna. Samantad yojanam sagram devair api durasadam bishanalena ghorena jvala prajvalita druman. Even the demigods were always drinking amrit, nectar, to prolong their life, and practically they're considered to be eternal. They're sometimes described as amara. They don't die. Those demigods, they couldn't walk anywhere near. They had to keep about 8 miles away from that lake. There were no trees growing on either bank of the lake because it had all been burned to ashes by the snakes who were living there. Kaliya and his different friends. So it's described that that poison was heating the waters up, and the waters were boiling. It was a very, very terrible situation. So Krishna thought to himself, Tadasya sarpa rajasya kartavya nigraho maya yateyam saridambodha bhavichchiva jalasaya. Somehow I have to destroy this king of serpents, Kaliya, so that this lake, which supplies water to all the residents of Vrindavan, can again become their shelter. Sridhar Swami in his Bhavartha Deepika commentary in the Bhagavatam, which he wrote in Orissa, he says that this lake was another kind of branch of the Jamuna, and it was about one yojana wide, 8 miles wide, and very, very deep water. It was off to the side, otherwise, he said, all the water would have poisoned everyone in Mathura and downstream, which is a situation that we see today. The Jamuna is not even allowed to come. There's a dam, Jamuna is being kept away, and her waters have become so very, very poisonous. So this is something going on today. It had something that happened also in Krishna Leela, and Krishna can't tolerate that. So Jiva Goswami, he says that Kaliya was Sarvada Bhaya Prada. He was the source of fear for everyone. And those cowherd boys in Krishna, they went that day without Balaram, Vina Ramayana, to herd the cows. And when lunchtime came, Krishna thought, I'm going to do something a little naughty. Balaram's not here. Mother Yashoda doesn't know. So he told the boys that we should take the cows some nice place for lunch. So some of the leading cowherd boys were going ahead, and the cows were following them. And those boys came to a place near the Jamuna, which is very close to Kaliya's place. And they saw very nice grass here. The cows haven't come here before. So the cows started to eat the grass, and that day was a very hot day. So the cows became thirsty, and they went to the Jamuna, and they started drinking the water. As soon as the cows drank that water, the cows fell down dead. And the cowherd boys, Jiva Goswami says, were so horrified by that. because this is Gokul, the place where the cows reign supreme. It's Golok, the planet of the cows. Those boys became so distraught that they decided that they would commit suicide. And they went and they also drank the water from the Jamuna. And they fell over dead. So Krishna was coming from behind with the other cows. And when he arrived there and saw that thing, Krishna was horrified. Different commentaries are made on this. Some literatures, the Sri Krishna Vijay of Gunaraj Khan, says that the boys and the cows actually died. But Sridhar Swami's Bhavarta Deepika says, no, they didn't die. They're Nitya Parishads. There's no question. How can they die? They can't die. Sanatana Goswami, he says that in his Vaishnav Digdarshani, that they lost consciousness by the divine will of the Lord, indicating that it was Krishna's desire to drive out Kaliya. Because the boys becoming poisoned, the cows becoming poisoned, was the impetus that inspired Krishna to finally drive Kaliya out. Jiva Goswami says in Gopal Champu that they were all unconscious by the desire of Yoga Maya. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his Sartha Darshani says an interesting thing. He says that Yoga Maya covered over their life errors. So it just appeared that they died. So Krishna arrived there. And Krishna came and he saw the boys and the cows apparently dead. At that time, Jiva Goswami describes Krishna's thoughts when he came and saw that terrible thing. Yagava kalu devata vagasadama smakam uchaistaram ye balascha sadaiva jiva tulitaste mi vipana puraha hahanta swayam asmitat sahachara kim brataram mataram tatam sarva janam cha vachmi mama dik chopalyata sahasacham. Krishna came there and he said, what have I done? What has my impulsive nature done now because of me? These cows and boys who are equal to the devatas, the demigods. And the boys who are equal to my life, they've all fallen in this terrible situation. And Krishna for a moment was bewildered. Krishna thought, what should I do? I'm the only life of these boys. And then Krishna thought, my God, what am I going to say when I have to return today and tell their mothers? What am I going to tell the Madhu Mangal's mother and Sridhama's mother that they're laying there dead by the side of the Jamuna? Krishna thought, what kind of misfortune has my impulsive nature caused? So this is a significant point. Krishna says that these boys are equal to my life and I'm their life. The same point is made in the Bhagavatam. Krishna tells Durvasa Muni, Sadavo hridayam mayam, sadhanam hridayam tvaham, mananyate najanati naham tebyo managapi. He says that the devotees, they're my heart. Sadavo hridayam mayam. You want to know what's in Krishna's heart? Sachinanda Maharaj described yesterday. This is Krishna's heart, Giriraj Govardhan. The devotees are Krishna's heart. Sadhava hridayam mayam, sadhanam hridayam tvaham. And I'm in the heart of my devotees. I don't know anything but my devotees. And my devotees don't know anything but me. So this is the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement. We'll discuss this more in the next few days. Srila Prabhupada, he described in one letter that the purpose of this movement is to establish Vrindavan villages all over the world. We want to establish Vrindavan. But Kaliya has a very, very terrible poison which will destroy the inhabitants of Vrindavan, destroy the life of Vrindavan. And the life of Vrindavan is the devotees. If our movement wants to establish Vrindavan, then the life of this movement is the devotees. So we have to drive out Kaliya from that Kaliya Radha, that deep lake, which is Kaliya Ridha, our heart. So Jiva Goswami says a very wonderful thing in Gopal Champu. He says that Krishna, seeing those boys and cows laying there in that condition, he became overwhelmed with grief. He says that Krishna's heart melted. And Krishna's heart, his liquid feelings then for those boys and cows came out through his eyes. And Krishna began to cry. And those drops of tears fell on those boys. And it was those teardrops, Jiva Goswami says, which brought those boys and cows back to life. Samacharya Srila Prabhupada, in Krishna book, he describes that by his glance, Krishna brought them back to life. And Jiva Goswami gives a particular explanation of that, not just his glance, but his personified feelings for the boys. His heart melted, and he began to cry. And his those tears are the embodiment of his feelings for those boys. And those tears landing on the boys and the cows brought them back to life. But Jiva Goswami says that they didn't all come back to life at the same time. Only the boys and cows that were directly in front of him. And Krishna did that very purposely, because he wanted to have some personal exchange with each cow and each boy. So if everyone regained consciousness at the same time, it wouldn't be the same. Krishna's very, very personal. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was recommended by Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, don't go to Vrindavan with a huge crowd of people. And Mahaprabhu came later on. If we want to enter into Vrindavan, it's not possible in a large group. Unless that large group, like we have here today, is very ekantic, very mature and very one-pointed. So this is an important point. Krishna makes this point several times in Bhagavad Gita. Two places Krishna says that someone who's aspiring for transcendence, they should live alone. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we go somewhere and do nirjan bhajan. But it means that we should be alone in our heart. It's very difficult in this world, especially in India, to be alone. But we should live alone. Meaning we should become like the gopis. As we said last night, the gopi, a gopi means someone who hides their love, who keeps their feelings in a deep chamber in their heart. So we want to do that, but we have to purify that chamber of our heart from this poison. So Jiva Goswami says that after the boys came back to life, that they were given life again by Krishna, they sat up, and seeing that they looked rather disheveled, Krishna gathered them all together, and one by one Krishna embraced them. And after tightly embracing each other, there was a few moments when those boys and Krishna just sat. Tears were coming down from their eyes, and they just sat looking at each other, because Krishna had saved them. And Krishna can save us from this poison of Kaliya. We should appreciate that. We should meditate on Krishna and pray for this thing. So those boys sat there for some minutes just drinking in the nectar of Krishna's face. And then the cows all began to moo and came over, and they began to lick Krishna's body again and again. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the boys, they must have asked each other, what happened? Didn't we die? What happened? And they said, oh, Krishna must have used some herbs or mantras or something. He said, no. It must have been his glance upon us which brought us back to life. So at this point we can ask a question. If Krishna knew that Kaliya was there in the Jamuna for so long, Krishna had not come there because of Mother Yashoda's instruction. But if Krishna knew, how is it that he tolerated Kaliya for so long? Why didn't he drive Kaliya out sooner? Well, two answers are given. Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu says that Krishna was a little shy. Because he knew that the Nagapatnis, Kaliya's wives, were great devotees. And Krishna was a little shy to go and chastise Kaliya because he didn't want to disturb those Nagapatnis. But something overcame that shyness. When Krishna saw the near death of the boys and the cows, at that time Krishna became very angry. And Jiva Goswami said, but Krishna thought to himself that I can't show this anger. If I show my feelings right now, then it's going to disturb the boys. So Krishna, he told his friends, he said, my dear friends, Bandhu, look. This lake, Kaliya, this wicked serpent's living in this lake, and by his presence, this whole lake has become very, very poisonous. And even all the birds that are flying overhead, they fall down dead. And Krishna told them, you see, my brothers, there's a kadamba tree here. And I'll climb up this tree and I'll be able to see what's going on. He told them, you just go a little distance away and just wait for a few minutes and I'll come right down. If Krishna were to tell the boys what his intention was, they wouldn't have let him go, or they would have gone with him. So Krishna had to speak to them in this way. Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book, he says that some people say, some acharyas say, that due to the touch of Krishna's feet, that kadamba tree came back to life. Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, he says that previously Garuda sprinkled some nectar on that tree. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a more elaborate explanation. He said that once Garuda, who liked to come to that place because it was one of his favorite lunchtime places, he liked to snack on the fish. Prabhupada says in one place that is a little shocking for some of you, but please forgive us. Prabhupada says Garuda is a non-vegetarian Vaishnav. So Garuda liked to go there. That was like a fast food place for him, you know, for his fish and things. And one day he was sitting there on a tree there and he was drinking some amrit. You may know from Garuda Purana that Garuda once stole the amrit from the demons and gave it to the demigods. So because of his presence there, a drop or two fell down. And that kadamba tree was living because of that. Other acharyas say that the kadamba tree was living because he had one hope. That someday he'll be blessed by Krishna's feet. So Jiva Goswami and Kavi Karnapur described that Krishna climbed up the top of that tree. And then as Burijan Prabhu was saying yesterday, Krishna prepared himself for a fight. He took and tied a cloth tightly around his waist. He tied his hair back. He retied his turban and he clenched his lotus hand into a fist, very eager for victory. Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book, he says that Krishna was flapping his arms like a wrestler and then he jumped into the Kaliya Hrada. Sanatana Goswami in his Vaishnava Digdarshani Tika, he says that Krishna dove headfirst into the Jamuna there. Kavi Karnapur says that Krishna was completely relaxed, and just before he jumped off, he turned to the boys and he said, my dear friends, don't be afraid. I'm going to do something. He said, but my effulgence, it'll dispel any misfortune. You should stay here with the cows. And then Krishna jumped in to the Jamuna. Kavi Karnapur says, like a kingfisher bird jumps into a river, dives into a river to catch a bird, to catch a fish. Krishna, in the same way, jumped into the Jamuna. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada, in the Krishna book, he says that when Krishna jumped into the Jamuna there, the water, the river, overflowed its banks to a distance of 100 yards. And Kavi Karnapur says that when Krishna jumped in, a huge wave with foam of poison on top of it started moving toward the bank there. And Jiva Goswami says that the boys and the cows, when they saw that wave of poison, they all became afraid and they started running away. And then they saw that Krishna was there in the river. And as soon as that wave retreated, then the boys and cows started running back to the Jamuna. And they were stumbling and crying as they were going because they were so afraid. What's happened to our life, our prana, Krishna? Kavi Karnapur says that when Krishna jumped into the Jamuna, he began sporting like a lordly elephant, making a loud sound. Prabhupada says a similar thing in Krishna book. And Sanatana Goswami says that Krishna was smacking the water with his arms and he was making music. Very beautiful music with his body. But that music wasn't appreciated by Kavi Karnapur, by Kaliya, who found it very, very intolerable. And Kaliya came out of the water and he saw the form of Krishna. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tam prekshaniya sukumara ganavadatam Sri Vatsa Pita Vatsavasanam Smita Sundarasyam Kridandam apratibhayam kamalodarangrim sandashyamarma surusha bujaya chachada. Kaliya, he heard this terrible sound, which sounded very terrible to him. And he came up out of the water to see what it was. Kaliya was very, very angry. And then Kaliya saw Krishna. Tamprekshaniya Sukumara. He was Sukumar, a very, very delicate, beautiful boy. Tamprekshaniya, very, very attractive. And he saw that he had yellow silken garments on and that his body shone like a glowing white cloud. And on his chest was a mark of Srivats. And on his face was a very beautiful smile. Krishna was about to have some fun. And that his feet resembled the whorl of a lotus flower. And he saw that this boy, this impudent boy, who dared to enter into his abode, was playing very fearlessly in the water. And Kaliya became very angry. And the Bhagavatam says that Kaliya wrapped his coils around Krishna, and very furiously he bit him on the chest. Kaliya thought that he would crush Krishna with his coils. Kaliya was very, very powerful. And we'll discuss some more about this in a few days. Where was it that Kaliya got his strength? How did he become so powerful? That's another topic. But many different Puranas describe the Vishnu Purana. Says that there are many snakes there in that lake, Kaliya's friends and relatives, and all of them attacked Krishna. And all of them bit Krishna at the same time. And all of them wrapped their coils around Krishna. Jiva Goswami says that to crush Kaliya's pride, because Kaliya represents pride personified, this is the poison which will destroy Vrindavan. This is the poison which will destroy Vrindavan in our heart, is this pride. But Kaliya couldn't touch Krishna. Jiva Goswami says that Yoga Maya, she produced a shield in which she covered Krishna's body with. And so Kaliya wasn't able to touch him. Sanatana Goswami says a very interesting thing, which we can elaborate on later. He says that Kaliya was embracing Krishna out of love. None of our other acharyas say like this. And that when he bit Krishna, actually he was kissing him. And it's an interesting point. None of our other acharyas say this. Why is Sanatana Goswami saying this thing? If you come for the next few days, we'll explain some more details about this and what it means for us. The Harivamsa Purana describes that Kali was so furious that he was exhaling balls of fire and smoke. Probably this is the first recorded instance of a fire-breathing dragon. Maybe this is where the idea of a dragon came from. Mm-hmm. And that smoke and fire began to further burn down anything that was around there. Kali was extremely angry. The Brahmavivarta Purana says that Kaliya swallowed Krishna, just as Bakasura swallowed Krishna. But when he swallowed Krishna, he found that Krishna was like a burning rod of iron. And Kaliya's throat and neck began to burn. And he vomited out Krishna. And when Krishna was coming out, he broke Kaliya's teeth. Mm-hmm. And blood started coming out from Kaliya's mouth. So, this is Kaliya Damana Leela. You may wonder what the word Damana means. The Sanskrit dictionary describes that Damana means, the word has a number of different meanings. It's used in the Bhagavatam and Mahabharata to tame someone. And we'll discuss that later, how it is that Krishna tamed Kaliya. It also means to subdue. It also means to overpower or punish. But another meaning, a very interesting meaning of the word Damana, is self-restraint or self-control. So this very perfectly supports Thakur Bhaktivinoda's point that this Kaliya Damana Leela means to drive out malice, to drive out envy from our heart, which is meant to be Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. So we have to become self-controlled and drive Kaliya out. So we'll stop here, and we can continue this pastime more tomorrow. Do we have time for one or two questions? Anybody has something, Mataji? So she's asking, how is it that Kaliya could stay in Braj for many yugas? I want to describe that more elaborately later with some very interesting description from Brahmavivarta Purana about the activities of Kaliya before he came to Braj. So please forgive me, but it's not appropriate just now. Mataji? The Nagapatnis. She's saying that Kaliya represents malice and envy. What do the Nagapatnis represent? The Nagapatnis are devotees. And they're the wives of Kaliya. And it's partly by their mercy, we'll discuss that more, it's partly by their mercy that Kaliya was saved by Krishna and not killed by him. Mm-hmm. So the devotees, the Nagapatnis represent devotees in that sense. So if we take shelter of the devotees, they may save us from the wrath of Krishna. It's described that if you make Krishna angry, it's not such a dangerous thing because your guru can protect you. But if you make your guru angry, even Krishna can't protect you. So the Nagapatnis represent like that. So we'll stop there. One last quick question. Uh-huh. The grass was growing nearby to the Jamuna, but not some. Everything for some distance on all sides of the Jamuna was destroyed. And as we mentioned, some acharyas say for one yojana means 8 miles. Distances in Braj sometimes are a little bit mystical. Sometimes it's described that Radha and Krishna are going very quickly from Barsana to Vrindavan. And an explanation is given by some of our acharyas that Vrindavan is like a lotus. And sometimes it's open and the distances are very great. Sometimes the lotus closes and the distances become very short. So it's a very mystical thing. In any case, Jiva Goswami says this in Gopal Champu. There was some green grass because the cows hadn't been going to that place. Mother Yashoda had told them to stay away. So they had come there to some grass nearby. And this is also, of course, part of Yogamaya's desire to enhance his pastime. Okay? So we have to stop this so we can take prasadam. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ke go premanande vancha kopadarubhischa kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo.